I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 will be our text today that we're going to use as a springboard for the remainder of the lesson. And as always, I encourage you, if you received a Sunday talk on your way in today, that you will open that to the third page and follow along in the outline there and fill in the blanks if you're so inclined that we might go through our lesson together in that way. So good to be here today. Good to see each one of you. To be able to take a break from our worldly schedule, secular schedule, I should say, and be able to have a time of worship and encouragement in being together. Tonight I invite you back, as we always do, a very special lesson tonight out of the book of Daniel. We want to take a look at the famous text of the handwriting on the wall. As you remember there, King Belshazzar had the handwriting on the wall about the fall of his kingdom, and truly that very night he lost the throne. And I've got a lesson built around that, not so much in the context of what was happening in Daniel's day and the changing over from the Babylonians to the Persians, but very much one of a practical application. And so tonight I invite you back for a lesson of practical application from Daniel. There and the handwriting on the wall. I thought I might term it that way or title it that way, but as you'll see at the bottom there, page 3, I call it Tekel. And when we get there tonight, you come back tonight, I'll tell you what that means and how, in a lot of ways, that's a more fitting title than handwriting on the wall. That being as it may, Romans chapter 6. Paul here talks about our new life that we can have in Christ. Let's take a look at this text and then get right in to the lesson. Paul says, "What then shall we say? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." Paul's great thrust here in this text is twofold. That is, one, when we were baptized, we were to die to the old life. We truly were to say no to sin, that we don't want to live that way anymore, and that truly now we are resolved in our own heart and mind to live the new life, to live for God. And truly, as we are baptized into Him, then it's a sharing of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that in baptism we die to the old life of sin. We're buried in a watery grave rather than a one made of dirt. And then we rise to walk in newness of life. And so just as Jesus died and gave his life for our sins, was buried in a tomb and was raised on the third day to never die again, truly we, as being baptized believers, do that very thing when we're baptized. Die to the old life, buried in a grave, and rise to walk in newness of life. And so the lesson today is about just that, newness of life, and having that new life, living that new life that Jesus here, through the Apostle Paul, is talking about. By way of introduction then to that, let me tell you a true story that I think has great bearing upon walking in newness of life. While we were living in Mattoon, and I was preaching for the Lakeland congregation down there, we were supporting a missionary in London, England. He was a young man who was one of Lakeland's own, and so we were very happy to be able to be his sponsoring church and get funds to him. He was working with the South Bermondsey congregation there in London, or suburb of London, doing a lot of similar things as to what Alex is doing in Peterhead, Scotland, primarily working with youth and young couples and doing what he can with teens and those kinds of things. And one of the things that he did was to write his own tracts, to write his own little booklets and pamphlets. And they didn't have the wherewithal to print them, and so he would mail us. This was way before internet, all right? He would have to snail mail us the proofs and things, and then we would run them and make copies here in the States and then ship them back over to them. And that was actually cheaper than him trying to have it printed there locally. And so one of the things I would do would be to help with the printing and editing of those. And he had one pamphlet there that it began on the front cover, and it said this: "If being born hasn't given you much satisfaction, then try being born again." And I thought that was so clever. Because so many times people are just there in their particular lives. They look at their lives and don't like where they are, and life hasn't given them much satisfaction, and they're not happy as to who they are and what they've become and where their life is going. And so to me, that particular introductory panel there to that pamphlet was very good. If being born hasn't given you much satisfaction, then try being born again, to have a new start, a new lease on life, a new beginning in life would be so refreshing and so wonderful. Hence, to have a new life, to have newness of life. And truly, as you opened up and read later in the pamphlet, it was an evangelistic type little tract where it talked about that very thing, as to how everyone at one point in their life is lost in sin, their life hasn't been working out, and they need to become a Christian to have that new life. Well, what are some of the blessings then of having that new life? That truly Paul talks about some of them here in Romans chapter 6, and that's going to be the balance of our lesson today, that I want to give three great blessings to this new life that we can have in Christ Jesus. And I hope you'll follow along there in the sermon outline and pay particular attention, because there may be one or more in our audience today that needs to obey Jesus Christ, and they need that new life in Christ. And so instead of focusing on sin and how ugly and bad that is, because I think we're all pretty well aware that that's the truth, let's this morning talk positively about the new life that you can have in Jesus Christ. All right, point number one, as you see there, is that if you have the newness of life that comes by being in Christ, if you have the new life that is to be found in Him, you will be free from the penalty of sin. You will be free from the penalty of sin. Sin has its consequences. The price has to be paid for sin. And Ezekiel said there in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, "The soul that sins, it shall die." Wow, that's a tough penalty. But that's the penalty. Spiritual death, separation from God, is the penalty that sin brings. Surely Paul will argue, and we'll get to this here in just a little bit, that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin. What is it that you earn by committing sin? What is it that you get rewarded with when you sin? What is it that the devil's going to pay you out? He's going to pay out spiritual death. The wages, the reward of sin is spiritual death. And so truly, we want to stay away from that. We don't want any part of that particular penalty. And the good news is that in Christ, you're free from that penalty. Another penalty that the Bible talks about from sin is condemnation. Condemnation. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37 that by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. One of the things that some people don't like to admit, and some people don't even believe in, is the fact that Jesus did talk about condemnation. Some folks have this skewed idea that God is so loving and Jesus is so great that He would never condemn someone to an eternal punishment, or just never condemn someone, period. And nothing could be farther from the truth. I challenge them to reread their New Testament. I challenge them to look again at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and some of the things that Jesus said. This being one of them. He says, if you do what is right by your words and your actions, you'll be justified. But if you do that which is wrong, that which is sinful, by your words and your actions, you shall be condemned. Even when Jesus talked about how to become a Christian in Mark chapter 16, He said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Oh, wonderful. Hey, it's great. So simple, so direct. Here it is, kind of like 1 plus 1 equals 2. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, what a simple equation that is. What a simple solution that is. But that's not the whole verse. He says, "He that does not believe shall be condemned." Truly, that's the penalty of sin, is condemnation. That's the penalty that some will have to pay if they're not saved from that sin. They will be condemned of God. And so to those who don't obey, they face that particular penalty. And finally then, the third thing, actually maybe not exhaustively, in this penalty is the wrath of God. That's right. Again, some people have this mistaken identity because they have forgotten what the Bible says about God, and they think God never gets angry, or God is not wrathful, and God's always this loving, shall I say, grandfather type figure that just wants to spoil his children all the time. No, that's not the God that I read of in the Bible. I read of a loving God. I read of a God of mercy and of patience and all of those wonderful things, but I also read of a God who cannot fellowship sin. And truly His wrath and His anger burns against those who do such deeds. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3 there, where Paul in that context was talking about our lives before becoming a Christian, he says we were the objects of God's wrath. You know, I've just read too much in my Old Testament. I've read too much of my whole Bible. I know I don't want to be that. There's a lot of things I don't want to be, and I guarantee you I don't want to be that. An object of God's wrath. Well, I'm not here to be negative this morning. I'm here to be very positive, because I'm here to tell you that if you're a child of God and you can walk in that new life, you are free from the penalty of death and condemnation and wrath. That's the beauty of being born again. That's the beauty of walking in newness of life. Truly, as I've already mentioned, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." That's what we have as children of God, the free gift of eternal life. So there's no more death. There's no more condemnation, because that's exactly what Paul says if you back up there to Romans 8, or I guess it wouldn't be backing up from chapter 6, would it? If you go over to Romans 8, it says, "For there is therefore now..." Yeah, in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free from the penalty of sin, free from the penalty of death, free from the penalty of condemnation, free from the penalty of wrath. Because now you can look at passages such as 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9, where it says, "God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through Christ Jesus." It's not God's desire that we be lost in sin. It's not His desire that in His wrath He has to punish us because of our sin. His desire is that we obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. And so point number one of this wonderful new life that you can have in Christ is that we are free. You're free from the penalty of sin. Point number two then, we are free from the practice of sin. Free from the practice of sin. You don't owe the flesh anything. For those of you that remember when we went through this in my Romans class about a year or so ago, we think we do. In our own minds and our carnal attitudes, we think we owe our carnal side something, that, well, I've just got to do this sin, and I've just got to please myself in this way, and I've just got to enjoy this. And the point is, you don't owe the flesh anything. And a lot of times, you know, we like to pay our debts. We can't wait to get out of debt. We can't wait to pay that car off or pay that credit card off. And we don't like being in debt. And so somehow we get in this thinking that we're in debt to the flesh, that we have to satisfy its desires and go out and do this sin and that sin. And the good news is, in Christ Jesus, that debt has been paid. And you don't owe the flesh anything. You don't have to give in to that temptation. It's not there for you to commit. But rather, in the newness of life, you are free from the practice of sin. You're free now to pursue other more wonderful things. Truly, Paul talked about this in Galatians 5 and verse 13, where he says, "Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." He says, again, you don't owe the flesh anything. And now that you're free in Christ and you have this new life, don't turn it into an opportunity to go out and do this and do that, thinking that grace will always cover you. You're missing the point. The point is that in your new life, that in this newness of life, you don't have to follow the flesh and do the carnal things anymore. Truly, you can live that new life. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, Paul argues that the deeds of the flesh are evident. And they are. A lot of times in our society today, common sense tells us that that isn't right. Truly, the Bible defines exactly what is right and what is wrong. And you can go very many places in the Scripture and find out lists and various sins that we're not supposed to be a part of. And it's evident. To those who are living a new life, they're not going to partake in these things. We're going to leave them behind and gladly leave them behind. Have you ever had a situation in life that you got yourself into that you said, boy, I just can't wait for this is over. I got myself into a mess. And I got myself into this little jam here, and I just can't wait till this is over and I can move on to something else. We've probably had those in times of life, and when it's finally over and you can kind of wash your hands of it and it's in the past, you're just so glad. It's exactly the way it is living in Christ. That truly, we are to be people that aren't living in the past, but truly the works are obvious and we can leave it there and go on to that which is good and proper and right. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then truly you'll have that which is of the Spirit. Truly, when God talks about how we ought to live, free from the practice of sin, I can go back to things like Psalm 1 and verse 1, where it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Notice the verbs there talked about in the negative, that the person who's doing right and not practicing sin anymore doesn't walk with the sinners anymore. They don't walk in the way of ungodliness. They don't stand in the path of those that are committing sin around them, and they don't sit amongst those that would encourage them to do what is wrong. They've left it all behind. They've got a new life, a wonderful life in Christ, and I hope that's the way your life is today. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. That's where I want to be found walking, don't you? Walking in the light, walking as Jesus walked, because I don't have to practice sin anymore. No, I don't want to, don't have to. I can now walk in the light as Jesus is in the light and do what He wants us to do. The third thing, the third great blessing is that not only in review are we free from the penalty of sin, not only are we free from the practice of sin, but number three, we are free from the propensity to sin. Isn't that neat? All three of these begin with the letter P. And of course, you know me, that's no accident. Free from the propensity, P-R-O-P-E-N-S-I-T-Y. If you're not familiar with that word, it means free from the inclination, free from the tendency, free from the desire to sin. And this picture just gets better and better. I'm glad I'm free from the penalty of sin. I'm glad that I'm free, that I don't have to practice sin anymore. But I'm here to tell you today that when we have the Spirit living in our lives and we're doing what the book says and we're walking in the light and doing what Jesus says, we'll have that state of mind and that state of light that we won't even want to sin anymore. It will become repulsive to us. Sin needs to be repulsive to us. Sin needs to be ugly. Sin needs to be something that's disgusting to even mention. Really? Because that's what it is. But too many times in our lives, you know, we fall in love with our sin and we rationalize our sin and we want to figure out some way that we can kind of walk in the light but hang on to this little sin over here, you know? And we say, well, this will be okay. It's not as bad as somebody else does and it's not as bad as everybody else and I'll just hang on to this little... No. You're not walking in the new life if you think that way. Because the new life says that when you've got that in Christ, you won't even have the inclination. Will you be tempted? Oh, yes, that's going to be there. But it becomes much, much easier to say no to that temptation because you're not inclined to do it. Surely there are certain things in your life that if the devil were to put that out there, you'd have no trouble saying no. Why is it? Because you don't have the propensity to do that. Now, I'm sure there are other things out there, like me and you together, that would be a little tougher. You know, and that's usually where Satan likes to hit us, and those things are where we can. But when we're truly living that new life and living in that newness of life that comes from being a Christian, gone is the propensity to sin. Oh, we may do it every now and then. We may give in to the flesh every now and then, but we don't like it. It's ugly. It's repulsive, and we don't feel good about it. And that's one of the great blessings of being in the new life that Jesus has to offer. Jesus said in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19, and this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Here's an example of people who still have the propensity to sin. They're in love with darkness. They're in love with the world. And it just doesn't work. That's not what the new life is all about. John said it this way in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. I mean, you can't get any more direct than that. He says, don't love the world, then you won't have the propensity to do the things of the world. So truly, when we're living life the way we should, we're not going to want to sin. We're going to want to stay as far away from sin as we possibly can. And that's one of the blessings of the newness, having the newness of life. But as a child of God, I am free from the propensity to sin. Not free from temptation. Not free from the carnal side. But truly, the new life says, I got a brand new attitude. I got a brand new focus, and that attitude and that focus has nothing whatsoever to do with sin. I don't want to commit it. I don't want to be part of it. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 10, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Yeah, this old flesh does some things that I'm not proud of every now and then, and you have that carnal side as well, but Christ is living in us. His Spirit is living in us, and therefore we are alive. We are people of righteousness. That's the great blessing of having the newness of life. In Galatians 5 and verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Yeah, we love the Word of God. We love the teachings of the Spirit. We're glad that the Spirit is dwelling within us as a child of God. Therefore, let's live like it. Let's live in that newness of life and do all the wonderful things that God has in store for us. And so I close with this particular point with Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. May I put that in a New Testament context and say that yes, those who are walking in that newness of life, you're going to gain some new strength. It says they will mount up with wings like eagles. Yes, you'll mount up. You will be a person of strength and of power and in control because you're letting the Spirit and the Word control you. The text says they will run and not get tired. Oh, wouldn't that be great to be able to run and to do and to go and yet just be ready for more. Have you ever said sometimes, you know, the spirit is willing but the body is weak? You know, what a wonderful attitude. And that's this attitude of newness of life. And yeah, sometimes we get physically tired, but inside we're still ready to go. Ready to keep on walking, ready to keep on serving, praising God, doing all that He wants us to do. Yeah, we're going to run and not get tired on the inside. We're going to walk, as it says here, and not become weary. That's right. You're going to walk that Christian walk. You're going to walk that life. And it won't become wearisome because you've forgotten sin and you're not practicing it anymore and you're free from the penalty of it, even the propensity of it, because you're walking in the light and you never get tired of walking in the light. Well, why did John the Baptist tell the people to repent? So they could have newness of life. Why did Peter on the day of Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2 tell the people to repent so they could have a new life? Why did Paul write here about baptism and dying to self and being buried and so we could rise to walk in newness of life? And so I close as I began from the words of Roger Merritt, the missionary that I talked about earlier. If being born hasn't given you much satisfaction, why not try being born again? Truly we're here, Jesus is here to offer you newness of life, free from the penalty of sin, free from the practice of sin, free from the propensity of sin. If that's what you want, come now while we stand and while we sing.